Good morning, good morning. How's everyone doing this fine day? And if Nick and Olivia are still watching, maybe Kevin or Nancy or whoever might be watching, hello, good morning. I think I saw Elizabeth pop on there briefly this morning. Yesterday morning. So hello. And let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. We get to look in the Word and help us get to know you better, Lord, and help me to be truthfully and honest to your Word, and I take it and I speak about it correctly. And give me the Holy Spirit's wisdom to help me to understand it. And we give you all the praise, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. They say we always want to invite the Holy Spirit to our Bible study. A most important member. And I hope that someday we'll get to, I guess we won't actually meet him. He is a spirit, but he's a quiet spirit. He's the one that speaks about the Lord and doesn't really say a lot about himself. Kind of an interesting aspect. I often wondered how to try to decide who the Holy Spirit really is. Is it a man? Is it an entity? Kind of hard to know all the time. But anyways, another time. Now we're in Luke 5, one of my favorite stories, mainly because it's only in Luke you see it, but John alludes to it when we get to the end of John. I'll kind of show you that verse. It's really neat how none of the other Gospels mention this. I'll show briefly what the other Gospels say about this period. But basically, it's the selection of Simon Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, who are also brothers. I was under Zebedee and Salome. And that probably the most talked about disciples that we see in the whole Bible, other than like Paul, a few brief things from like Philip. And so when it comes to the disciples, though, you don't hear a lot about most of them except for these four. They're all fishermen, and I'm gonna get rid of this stuff and bring over our painting for today. Kind of a cool one, pretty simplistic. It's what's going to happen is that Jesus is going to perform one of his first miracle, public miracles, and Simon Peter goes by Simon now and Peter later, and I think the division has to do with when Peter actually realizes that he's an apostle. We see him use Peter mostly in the New Testament, like Acts and forward, and before that it seems to be Simon. Jesus does use it a few times, though, in other places. So in chapter 5, verse 1, I'll start reading here. Let me get my verses up here. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Maybe this will be a good time, though, to actually show some of these places we're going to be talking about, too. I got a bunch of new pictures to show you. So let me switch to that one for a second. Okay, here's our map. And as we were I was telling you about yesterday, it is Capernaum. It's right there on the northwestern edge of the Sea of Galilee. This is the Sea of Galilee. It's also called the Lake of Gennesaret. And there's other maps that show Gennesaret is this hilly country over to the eastern side here. And so they call it, that's another name for it, is the Lake of Gennesaret. That's what you see in Luke here. And keep in mind that Luke is a Gentile. So a lot of his terminology will sometimes be different than you see in the other Gospels, because they were Jewish and more used to a more Hebrew background, Hebrew and Aramaic, and where Paul is definitely Paul and Luke background, even though Paul knew Hebrew, he was also more of a Greek person because he grew up, he was half, he was like a mixture. His father was a Pharisee, and so he was also a Pharisee. But his mother was Roman, and so he had Roman blood in him also. So he had a little bit more of an education, and same with Luke. Luke had a regular college type education, so his words are typically a little different. And continue reading here. Let's see some other pictures I got. This is that picture I was talking about yesterday. I was using for the longest time as my backdrop for my verses. And if you were sitting at Peter's house I showed you yesterday, kind of there on the edge of the water, this is what you would see. And this is from out in Lake Sea of Galilee. And over here is where Peter's house is. And this is that synagogue I was pointing to yesterday. This is another newer version, they call it the Orthodox Church. It was built much later in the same general area. This area was inhabited for many, many years, way after Jesus. That's why that synagogue that we're actually looking on there, I think they date it to about 400 to 500 AD. So it's the one underneath that Jesus was at. And there's that picture I showed you yesterday. So now, again, this is the synagogue. This is the newer one. The older one is underneath it. I showed you the different bricks. And this is an older picture that doesn't have that. Some of the Greek Orthodox built that church above this area. And actually, what you're looking at here are the walls of another church that was built on top of what they believe, because they've dug down inside this whole area here and discovered a home in there. And they believe that's the one that could have been what could have been Peter's home. This is an artist's depiction of what Galilee may have looked like during this time frame. The type of buildings they had with flat roofs, and that I give credit for all this different artwork to a. It's in the credits, but it's a website called Bible. I'd have to look it up. It's in the YouTube credits, but that they that's where I get a lot of these pictures. I can look it up real quick. It's called Holy Land Photos, and their only requirement to use it, like I'm using it here for teaching, is that I mention their name. And so I thought I would, since I'm using a lot of their pictures today. I used them a lot in the past. I kind of give you an idea what life might have been like for a typical Galilean in that time frame when Jesus was walking these shores. I like to try to imagine what it was like to live. And some more pictures of that synagogue that I showed you from a different angle. And there's where you see the difference lines. See this area down below here, a darker brick. That was the type of brick used in that time frame, and that's what the synagogue was that Jesus was at. And of course, they built one right on top of it, almost identical. That's from a different angle. It's a little bit closer out on the Sea of Galilee, looking at that church. They built this church above Peter's home there, and there's a gap, so this is like up on stilts. And if you go inside of it, they got a glass dome in the middle. It's another angle showing that wall again of the old synagogue and then the new one on top. That's from a little different angle. There's that church again that they built. And that one, and this is the inside of that church. And if you look inside this, you see down inside there, those older structure down there, that would have been the one they're talking about. It looked like a typical fisherman's home. That's why I think it might be Peter's, based on that verse I was talking about yesterday, where it talks about Jesus leaving the synagogue and going right into Peter's home. I thought I'd show some other pictures I found that even show a better. We all have heard of Mary Magdalene. Well, right here is Magdala, and that's where Mary was from. So you can see that she didn't live very far away from Copernicum, so you can see how they might have met. And they just uncovered a second synagogue. They've already had one they found in 2009. And they got uncovered a second one. I was just looking at a report today about it. I took a picture of it, but I didn't get it put up on the computer yet. Maybe tomorrow, of another synagogue in Magdala that could have been definitely one that Jesus taught at. Remember, we mentioned the verse that he spoke in all these different synagogues along here. There's a town of Gennesaret, given the name to the Sea of Galilee. And this is a mosaic that was found in that church in Magdala. And you can see right here the picture of a boat, a sailing vessel, that had two masts on it, and these things out on the side that helped steer the boat. And so this is an actual, from that time period, kind of show what a fishing vessel would have looked like in the mosaic. And they found an actual one in the mud. I didn't grab a picture of it. This is that actual synagogue foundation that they found. And they found this neat thing in the middle here. And they believe that this might have been a base with some kind of uprights with another tabletop that would have been used to read the Torah from. So that it's a very good possibility that this particular seating area around here, Jesus might have sat here somewhere or stood here and read from the Torah. So it's kind of exciting to think about that, that Jesus could have actually been here sitting on these tables and stuff. I just find that kind of stuff. I want to visit Israel so bad. This is from a different angle that you can see all the mosaic work that they found in that area. Synagogues were highly, you know, if the people had some good craftsmen, they really made their synagogues look really nice. And I think that's, and there's a, that one thing I was showing you up front, and it shows the menorah. And they're trying to figure out what some of all these other symbols mean. This looks a little bit like a fish symbol, which was the, I don't know if anyone ever showed you that, but that was the way Christians, when they were being tortured and stuff during Nero's time, the way one Christian would identify another Christian is if you walked up to somebody and you wanted to find out if he was a Christian, you would draw a half circle like that. And then if the other man didn't say anything, he says, you know, he doesn't respond to it, and you don't say anything. But if he responds by drawing the other side and then having that little X at the bottom to indicate a fish, that's how they a secret code to kind of tell if there was another fellow Christian. So that's where that fish symbol came from, if you're ever curious. I found that out not that long ago. And it's just another map of the same area. This one has a little bit more of a relief, so you can see the mountains. And not really, you know, probably right near the sea. It was easy to walk along. We're going to talk about Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee today. So I could see him walking from like Capernaum down along the Sea of Galilee to Magdala, maybe up to Bethesda. There's some indications that Andrew and John were originally from Bethesda, or Nathan, one of the disciples anyways. And that's something, and that was my trip. That was actually when Jesus' mother and father came from Nazareth and came down to Bethlehem. I had, that was an old map I had from the first chapter. So we'll go back to our painting of the fish and continue reading. So he stood by, so it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And if you kind of look up in the corner here, you can see the people on the shores. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ships, out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have not caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down thy net. And I love this particular, you can imagine, if you're somebody that's been watching that Chosen series, I really love how they did this particular scene, even though it wasn't word for word. You know, there was a couple of slight differences, especially leading up to it. Because the Bible tells us that actually Simon and Andrew and plus John and James were all in the same fishing company. So they were all partners. On the Chosen, they really don't say that. They kind of make them separate, almost competitors. But I thought I'd mention a few things about this section. I want to mention here about about knowing and obeying what that Jesus, you know, asked him to do something. And even though he felt like it was a useless mission, that he agreed, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So he was going to follow orders. I think Jesus had a definite ability to be able to, he had that kind of a voice that you just responded to it immediately. It wasn't something you questioned. If he asked you to do something, you did it because because of some kind of power, he just had that personality about him. And something that I found over in Psalms 33:8-9 that kind of talks about this. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. So that's what I'm kind of saying there. Who was it that E.F. Hutton said, it's something about if E.F. Hutton talks, everyone listens, something like that. Well, if Jesus talks, everyone listens. For he spake, and it was done, and he commanded, and it stood fast. Also Matthew 8:8. He had a centurion. This is that that one centurion that came to the Lord and had so much faith that he asked the Lord to help one of his servants. And he didn't necessarily didn't need Jesus to come to the servant. He had enough faith that all Jesus had to do was speak it. And I'll just read it here. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak thy word only, and my servant shall be healed. And he did, and by the time the man got home, the servant was healed. So back to Luke 5, verse 6. When they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned upon their partners, which were, see it says partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both their ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And this is the one part, though, I like in the series, that the way they depicted it. And I think this is true of Jesus, too. Is that it shows Jesus that it shows Simon just falling to his knees and talking to Jesus and almost in tears, saying that Lord, I am a sinful man, depart from me. And that's like a repentance. That's like us repenting to the Lord. Same idea. And in the show, I love the fact that Jesus at that point touched Simon on the shoulder and came down and met him eye to eye. And spoke to him, follow me. And I thought that was a great way of depicting it. Even though it doesn't quite say that in the scripture, I can definitely see evidence that that could be a way that Jesus would have reacted. Because like in Revelation 5:8, over here it says, And when he had taken the book, and the four beasts, and the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So this will be us worshiping the Lord. When he appears in the throne room. Also in verse 14, and the four beasts said, Amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. I think that once you realize who Jesus is, you can't help but want to worship him and want to fall down on his knees. Okay, back to Luke 5, verse 9. But he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. That's the famous call to Peter. In verse 11 here, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I want to go through the other accounts of this, just to show a little bit differences, and just end up with the fact that I may have been incorrect in saying that Luke's was chronologically correct. Because remember I mentioned yesterday that the way Luke originally, it sounded like Luke was saying that that what he said in Luke was chronologically correct, but I can see that this particular incident here probably happened before yesterday's incident in the synagogue. I'll show you why. In Matthew 4:18 through 22, same account, told from a little different standpoint. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway left their nets and followed him. Notice nothing about, and that's the other thing, Luke is the only one that mentions this net thing with being broken and the amount of fish. Finishing up Matthew 4:21 and 22, and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James and the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. They immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And also over in Mark, in chapter 1, verse 16 through 20. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me. Come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. So I bring this up that you notice I didn't say anything about the throwing the net into the fish. But there is a reference that I'll get to here in a minute that indicates that they did see it and did know about it, because John will make mention of it later on. Let's see, where am I? So I just wanted to mention where we left off yesterday is actually after what I just read in Matthew, continuing in verse 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went out throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those which are lunatic, and these they had the palsy, and he healed them. So in Matthew, these verses that we read yesterday, having to do with Luke's account before this, are actually after. Same thing in Mark, if you continue on reading in Mark 1, 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And that was in their synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we done with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy God. So I just wanted to show you, those are the verses we were from yesterday. And they're actually after the one speaking about Jesus on the shore of Galilee. So, but we do know that that happened. And I bring this verse up because I want you to understand that what we're reading in Luke is actually true. It's just that the other two accounts didn't mention it. But John, later on, after Jesus' resurrection, and they're on the Sea of Galilee again, makes mention of it. And it's in John 21, 3. And I thought I'd read through this for the ending. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. Now, this is after Jesus died on the cross, buried, raised, and rose again. And Peter decides that he wants to go fishing. And so they go up to the Sea of Galilee because they were supposed to meet Jesus there anyways. I go a-fishing, and they said unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing, just like the scene I just mentioned. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Now, it could have been from a distance. Sometimes you can't always tell somebody that's far away what they look like. But I find it fascinating that all through this, they don't know it's Jesus. They know it is him, but that his looks are deceiving. And a lot of different theories on that. Was it because during the crucifixion, they tore off his beard, they maimed him, they did all kinds of bad things to them. And so that could be the reason that they didn't quite recognize him, because now he's rose from the dead and he's probably somewhat healed, but he's probably full of a lot of scar tissue. And Jesus said unto them, Children, have you any meat? And they answered him, No, children. And they answered him, No, children or sirs. I never noticed that verse before. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? Jesus said that. They answered him, No. That was them talking. And then Jesus said, Children, or sirs. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Oh, let me put that verse up. And cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Remember, Jesus said that when they first met. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in from the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, and that's John. John always referenced himself that way. John right now. Said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat upon him, for he was naked. I guess he used to fish in there nude to save getting their clothes wet. And they cast himself into the sea. And the other disciple came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. Still don't know why it's 153, and many people have tried to figure that number out, but nobody knows yet. I guess maybe it's at some point in time we'll get enough information to know what that 153 means. And for all they were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of them disciples durst ask him, Who thou, knowing that it was the Lord? And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them fish likewise. And this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So we have proof there that John remembered that it was Jesus based on that story. And so I wanted to show that Luke's account is accurate, but that it's interesting that Luke does show us things because of his diligence of investigation that he obviously must have probably talked to one of the four people that were there and found out about it. So that's all I have for today. And so Let's end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, thank you, Lord, so much for helping me to look in your word and helping me to get through this, and that you be with us and give us comfort, and that you be with us for the rest of today, and give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we'll talk to you again tomorrow.